Good morning, River family. And good morning to those that are listening to us virtually this morning. We appreciate you for listening to us here at the River of Life. Hey, that video was awesome. Because, you know, the songs went before the video and said that God is good. And it told me that God is always on time. The lady that was saying that she needed God to meet her where she was, how many can tell me by raising your hand or just thinking about it that God met you this morning exactly when you needed him to meet you? Amen. First of all, we woke up this morning. Hallelujah. He brought us here safe this morning. Hallelujah. Coming to church is important. It does something to your body, your heart, your soul that braces you up. When I came in here this morning and I saw Sister Angela was already on duty, it did something to my soul. I just, woo! Sound like Apostle Leonard at that time, Apostle Leon. But it's important. This is a national thing. Every year, back to church Sunday. So it can be for those that maybe have not returned to church from the pandemic. That's fine, because we have several people all over the world that have not yet stepped foot into the church from the pandemic. They might be listening on YouTube, but we need you back into the house of God. So it is our business to invite people. Whether they are from the river or it's somebody on your job, it's someone in your neighborhood, it's our business. And to you that are listening, it is your business also to invite someone to church next Sunday. Let's start this, because we are in a time where we need to gather together and we need to unify under one God. So come to church. It is important. You'll be well fed. And so I want you to know that out in the lobby, you hear the river. We have cards that say stronger together. You can sit at home and you can listen to YouTube to a teaching. Yes, but we are stronger together. So join us next Sunday, September the 20th at River of Life Community Church. And the address is 2626 Perry Street, Elkhart, Indiana, 46517. So if you are not in the church today, just plug it into your telephone and it will tell you how to get here. And I promise you, you will be glad that God brought you here. So today we are going to be talking about, Pastor Janice started a series on fishers of men. And I thought, what a way to witness to people and tell them all about God and what God has done for me. But in the Bible, there are several stories that you are very familiar with, Pastor, that talk about things that God did for people and how God met Jesus, and that they'll never forget it. And some of these stories you know very well. But I'm here today to tell you about one, the Samaritan woman. Because this week it is your responsibility and your responsibility to tell people about Jesus. Witnessing is not a hard thing to do, but we need to be committed to do this. Because when I go and see the God, I want him to look at me and say, well done. I want him to know that I was on my stand and invited people. So I'm speaking to families and friends. Please invite people to church. I am so thankful to see my family here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prayers have been answered. So let's talk about this Samaritan woman. Just to tell you a little bit about it, it's pretty good because, you know, Jesus didn't avoid going anywhere, Pastor Janet, did he? He didn't avoid going anywhere. Jesus would go into places that other people couldn't go, wouldn't dare go. Apostle Leonard, who's on playing right now with the men of the river. He will go into places that most other pastors and men won't go into. But God has ordained him to do that. And this is about Jesus. He also was ordained by his Father to go into places that most would not go into. So John 4, 1 through 15, I'm going to be reading to you. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made his baptized more than disciples of John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. And it's so good that when you have people that assist and to help you to do things, because one person, pastor can't do everything by herself. She needs help to help her. Jesus left Judah and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria, this place that most people did not go to. So he came to a city of Samaria near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being tired from this journey. How many of you know that Jesus had to be tired from traveling this long, dusty journey? But he sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And verse 7 says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, in the New King James, will you give me a drink of water? What do you think she thought about? And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jesus had no dealings with Samaritans. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan people. But guess what? Jesus did. Jesus answered and said to her, if you know the gift of God, and who is he, say to you, give me a drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw from. You have nothing to draw the water from the well. The water is deep. Where then do you get that living water? What do you think? Sometimes we think that we just are not equipped to do things that Jesus, God, wants us to do. But you know that God's always on time, and he always equipped us for everything that he wants us to do. So you know that she was going to be able to get that living water. And verse 11 says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? And he says to her, and she says to him, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock? She's questioning Jesus and who he is. Who does she think she is? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Everlasting life. This water will continue to be within her. She will not have to go and get that water from that well with a cup or something, because Jesus is going to give her this everlasting life, this everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have very well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. And that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, so I perceive that you are a prophet. Because how would Jesus know? How would his man know? So she knew he had to be a prophet. Our father worshiped on this mountain, And you Jews said that Jerusalem is the place where the one ought to worship. And we talk about the cup of living water. Jesus encountered a Samaritan woman who was living in an immoral life. She had five husbands, and now she was living with a man that was not her husband. Most men in that town would not have wanted to be around this woman, not to be around anyone like that. But Jesus, regardless of who she was a child. She was his father's child. So Jesus didn't mind talking to her. He didn't mind telling her about all the good news that God would bring to that town. Thank you, Lord. Jesus did not tell her to clean herself up before drinking the living water. Jesus knew that if she drank of the water he offered, she would find cleansing and deliverance. The message is that people do not have to be reformed their lives totally before coming to God. So when you start to invite people to come to church next Sunday and the Sunday after that and that, don't think that they're going to be perfect and that they're going to be walking clean, because they're still probably going to be not clean on the inside. But you know what? The doors of the church will still open for them. And here at the river, we will love them and we will embrace them. We will love them just like Jesus would love them, because you know, Jesus is on the inside of us. The truth is, they can't do this themselves anyway. When the Holy Spirit of God is poured out into people's lives, he will do the reforming. You can't do it by yourself. I can't do it for you, but you know who can? Jesus Christ can do this. Jesus Christ can reform us from whatever situation that we are in. And we need to take that and we need to believe that. We cannot do this walk by ourselves. We cannot come out of these situations by ourselves. Sometimes we think that we are about to pass out, that we are about to die. But I'm telling you today that all you have to do is call on Jesus and he will meet you where you are, regardless of where you are. And I love to say, regardless of your education, regardless of how old you are, regardless of what kind of car you drive, regardless on your address, regardless of your race, Jesus will reform you. And you need to know that. And that's something that you need to be telling people when you are witnessing to them. Witnessing is not a hard thing to do. You just need to spread the word of what Jesus has done for you. And this Samaritan woman, she went out and told people about this man called Jesus and how he came before the well. He was this Jew man that was not supposed to be coming into her hometown. But he did. He came into her hometown. Regardless, because he loves his people. He wants to turn his people around right. It's not hard to witness. And the people, the men and women, they listen to her. Regardless of the men that she has had in her life, regardless that she had had four or five husbands, regardless that she was living with someone, Jesus met her where she was, and she was changed. I want people to know that regardless if you don't have any the right clothes, regardless if you don't have a brand new pretty hat, regardless if you don't have but tennis shoes, you still can go to church next Sunday, because Jesus will be there. The presence of God is here today. So it shouldn't be hard for us to tell people to come to church and be in the presence of the God, to be in the presence of your Father, because he loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you. But it isn't true to say that God saves people who continue in their sin. Repent is the first word of the gospel. It is impossible to turn towards God without turning away from sin. So, you know, we have this God and this word, and it's called repent. If you have been in sin, repent to him, and he will forgive you. You will be cleansed. You will be healed. You will be elevated. Repent. That's all you have to do. And for those, I'm going to say this now. For if there is someone here or in listening to me, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life, and you know that you have done some sinful things, today we invite you to understand that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for you and you and you and you and you and me. He died for us. Tell them that. And in 3 days, he rose from the grave for us. Not just for him, but for us. So God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. The Savior of the world is in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. You see? She changed minds because she went out there and told people about Jesus and what he said. He told me all that I ever did. That's what she said. This was no secret to Jesus of what she had done. So there may be things that you have done in your life, but Jesus knows. And all you have to say is, Lord, forgive me. I repent before you. And you will see so many things in your life that will turn around and be able to and will change in your life. You will see your finances blessed. You will see your houses nothing, things won't go wrong. You will see where people will begin to just bless you. You will see people will look at you different. You will see your family coming to church because they want some of what you have. And next Sunday, back to church Sunday, it will be a beginning for that. It is an opportunity to invite people. Sometimes we just a little nervous and a little timid, you know, and we don't know how to go up and invite people to come to church. But guess what? This is a national thing for you to be able to walk up and invite your family, your friends, and your neighbors, somebody in the grocery store to come to church with you next Sunday. And you don't have to have a long spiel about it. If you belong to the river and if you are a friend of the river, you can just get one of these cards and just hand it out. And I brought my mask up here also because, you know, most of us, no, all of us wear a mask when we go out into the community. And see, don't be afraid to not invite people to come to church just because you have your mask on. Believe me, those words will come through that mask. I can't say it again, that you have to share the word of God and you have to invite people. This Samaritan woman, she shared and she told them about God. So when the Samaritan woman had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay. They said, come on in. Put your feet up. Let us feed you. Let us give you some water. But he had the best water, that living water. And Jesus did stay there, the Bible said, for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And 43 says, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. He stayed there for 2 days. And sometimes when you speak the word of God to people in your neighborhood that you may not know, they may not really believe you because they knew you from way back. But it says here that he went into other places. Go back and read it. In 43 and 44, now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. And 44 says, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. And that happens even today in society, that people don't accept what you're saying because they can't see that bright light that comes with you because Jesus is on the inside. But you know, when he went into another city, they believed what he said and they heard all about the things that he had done, Pastor, in the other cities. So this is good. Remember the Samaritan woman. Remember that Jesus went through there and he wasn't supposed to go. Remember that most people would not go there. And you pray about it. And I ask you right now to pray and ask God, Lord Jesus, who should I invite? Where should I go to find these people that I can invite to church? Because it'll be a turnaround for them. And so in closing, I want to make this right by saying that if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, or if you just want to renew your commitment to God, maybe you slacked off a little bit and you want to go gun force now, ask him into your life. It's simple as that. Know that he died and he rose 3 days later just for you and I. Remember, it's that easy. And so if you are at home, you do that. And if you need someone to pray for you, all you have to do is go to one of the local churches. Be spirit-led to go to a church where someone is there and they can lead you into for you to receive Jesus into your life. If someone is here and you want one of the elders to pray for you, after service, there will be a team over here that will pray for you. If you need healing or just someone to pray for you, at the end of service, please come over and there will be a group of people that will pray for you. And so as I close, I would like to pray, Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and to share with people about the Samaritan woman. And that Jesus does not just go to people in fancy towns, but Jesus goes everywhere. He does not avoid going places where most men and women would go. We know that Jesus went through this town for a reason. This town was turned around because Jesus was there and because Jesus spoke. And Father God, we just thank you for reminding us today about this part of the Bible, about how easy it is to share about Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. And that Jesus Christ, as a song that they sung earlier, that Jesus, that God is good all the time. And that his name is above all names. There is no name that you can call above Jesus that is greater. And Lord God, I pray that the words that came from my mouth that were of you, Father, that it will penetrate their hearts. And they will be able to walk out and use those words of encouragement. Because that's what I meant to do today. I came here to encourage you. To encourage you to come to church. To encourage you to invite someone to church. To encourage you that regardless of who you are or where you're from, that Jesus loves you. And that he wants to meet with you. And you are important to him. So Father God, I just thank you. Father, I pray that everyone that leaves here will go home safely, Lord, and that they will have a conversation with you. And we thank you. Amen.
And we have enough time for people to be a witness this morning. If you have a testimony this morning, we're going to ask you to keep them short so that we can hear from more people. But Pastor Cheryl's going to stay right there, and she's going to call on your name. And I'm going to ask Angela if she'll put her mask on and take a microphone to people as they stand up. And since we started that direction last week, why don't we start over here this direction this week? And so you can use my microphone. Just bring it back to me, please.
So if you have a testimony that you would like to share with us, please raise your hand. If there's someone in this group, if you would raise your hand over here, and Angela will bring you the microphone. Okay, and if there's someone in this section, I call the more section. If someone over here in the more section would like to give a testimony this morning, please raise your hand. Did someone say something? Okay. So if you want to move over in this section, I call Angela's section. She usually sits on the front row. So if someone over in this section would like to give a testimony or what God has done in your life, please raise your hand. And if not, then we'll come over this way. And I have two. Leslie, would you stand, please? Oh, we have three. Okay.
My name is Vicki, and last week I had a terrible fall. I fell flat on my face in cement, and it could have been much, much worse. So I thank God for protecting me even when I fell, and I thank everybody for the prayers that I felt laying in my bed last Sunday, aching all over. And I just thank God that I'm in this family of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
Now, Leslie.
Okay, I usually don't give my testimony because it has to be short, and it's so hard when God has done so much and been so good to me. But I was raised in a church my whole life, and I always believed that I was saved because I went to church every Sunday and I was raised in church. And the bottom line was, I was so lost. And, you know, when you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and Jesus even told Nicodemus, who was a very godly man and loved God, that you had to be born again or you would not experience the kingdom of God. And it wasn't until I was around people that knew God, because they talked about his goodness and his love, that I wanted to know who he really was. I mean, just being in church every week wasn't enough. And I was into the worldly scene, into all the things that a lot of us get into, and we justify and think, it's okay because I'm a Christian. I can do these things. And the bottom line is, something was missing in my life. And when I started studying God's word, I could not put the Bible down. And I'm trying to keep this as brief as possible. It's just once you feel that hunger in your soul, which is your mind and emotions and your choices in life, and you know something's missing, and you start studying God's word with other women who know the Lord and love him, he starts changing and doing something in you through his Holy Spirit that he gives you to comprehend these things. And I rededicated my heart to the Lord almost 30-some years ago. And I just can't say enough how the Lord wants that personal relationship, like Jesus talked to Nicodemus about, unless a man is born again. And that's his Spirit that rebirths us, and it gives us that hunger and that drive to want to know him, talk to him, be close to him. Just like you want friendship with other people, Jesus wanted that friendship with me. So all I want to say is he's as real to us as we want him to be real to us. He wants to bless us. He wants a relationship with us. And he loves us so much, and he's so faithful. Even if you think that he's not there for you, his word says he is there for you, and we just need to go deeper with him, and we need to spend that time with him. And I just can't say enough. He is faithful. He is so faithful, and he loves us so much. And I just want to give him the praise and glory for that.
And I think Miss Elsie.
My name is Elsie Stevens, and I have been homeless for over 2 years, and I have tried to find an apartment on my own, and I've been turned down so many times. So I got my social worker from my doctor, and she helped me find an apartment, and I'm moving into an apartment on the first week of October, finally.
Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone? Maureen?
I just want to testify that the power of God just totally heals in so many ways. I was not raised a Christian, but in high school I met a Christian and got saved. My background in the home I was raised in, there was a lot of issues and problems, and as a result, it had done a lot of trauma to me, trauma mentally and emotionally, and I even struggled with physical issues because of that. And the trauma had actually made me very introverted. I didn't have any confidence in myself. The amazing thing, though, is when I got saved in high school and God came into my life, over years, I have learned to trust God to heal me. And he has put me through situation after situation and has been with me, guiding me, helping me, supporting me. It hasn't always been easy, but he was there, and I can look back and testify of his faithfulness. The other thing God always, I learned early, was the importance of staying with your church family. God wanted us to stay in a church home, and I most of the time was faithful to that. And God used so many people to mentor and teach me, and I needed some really bad, deep, deep counseling. And God would even put people in different churches who approached me wanting to counsel me, and they would talk to my minister and make themselves available. And I always knew it was God, and I went through what God always had for me. I was willing to go through everything they had to offer me that was from God, and it has just changed me. People who know me from years ago have said, "You are a totally different person." I feel like he's broken off so much stuff in me and healed me so deep inside, where I used to carry such horrible pain around and insecurity and it just indescribable what I felt inside. And God has so set me free. So I want to testify the power of God to work in everybody's life, because I know he doesn't do it just for me. I'm one of his children, but he loves everybody. So I just wanted to testify the power of God to heal, heal, heal.
It is so important to be in covenant and to be in a church home where you can get what God wants you to get. It is so important to that. You know, sometimes, yeah, you can sit home and you can watch television. You can watch services on television, but you need to be in a covenant. You need to be a part of a church where you can be taught, where you can be, someone's always there for you, that you can pick up a phone and call and someone is there to answer that phone and to talk to you. And I thank you, Apostle Janet, that you have been there for us so many times, day or night, where we can just pick up that phone and just call you, that we can be in the emergency room and call you and you'll say, "Okay, I'm coming." Sometimes she might be in a meeting, but she's going to call another elder. That's why it's important to be in covenant, so you'll be covered and you'll be taught.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.